Tirtha,
Tirtha,
the holy places of pilgrimage.
Bhutaha,
converted into Svayam, personally. Vibho, O powerful one. Tirti kuvanti, make into a holy place of pilgrimage. Tirthani, the holy places. Svantasena, having been situated in the heart. Gadabrita, the personality of Godhead. Translation. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified, because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. A purport. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere, just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura, just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord, and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganga or Jamuna, or to visit the temple situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life, save and accept to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadev heard from Narada, and then he chanted in writing. Wonderful. Shukadev Goswami studied from his father, and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage, and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, and what to speak of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place. Mm-hmm. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Ashtachare Sadharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. This verse is spoken by Maharaj Yudhishthira to Vidura. He explains something very nice. He compares Vidura with a Tirtha. A Tirtha is a holy place which is surcharged with a certain spiritual atmosphere which can also surcharge in an almost electrical way the pilgrim who goes there. I have received information from devotees who went this year to Kumbh Mela at the confluence of Yamuna, Ganga and Saraswati also, who comes in an invisible way to Allahabad. And they said, as they entered this place, Kumbh Mela, especially in this auspicious time, where this special constellation takes place, they really felt that they're entering a very, very deeply surcharged atmosphere. They said it is not possible to describe for someone who was not there. I think I want to tell you the day before last year I spent a lot of time in the Himalayan mountains. And after some time my heart was hankering so much for the sweetness of the Braj atmosphere that we interrupted our journey. We were, our last station was Dharamshala, the seat of the Dalai Lama, whom we visited. And then we just went Shishirara Madan Mohan Ki Jai. And from there we took one taxi. We left at, I believe, 3 o'clock in the early morning in the mountain, and we went into Braj. And my dear devotees, we all experience such a sweetness in the heart, which can only be compared with what a person sees when he sees his beloved. And his heart becomes filled with a certain sweetness, which is just incomparable. I remember we were sitting on the roof and looking down on Radhakund and Syamakund, and we were crying with speechless ecstasy. And we felt like, I will only sit in this atmosphere and become Krishna conscious. No problem. It was just moving into our heart, fulfilling the desert of our heart with that specific loving ecstasy, which is especially there in the places where Radha and Krishna have their very, very confidential pastimes. The whole of Braj is full of this atmosphere. But some of us have specific preferences, and they like to go to these places. So then, a holy place of pilgrimage, when you come in contact with the holy place of pilgrimage, you are surcharged by the atmosphere which is reigning there, which is die dort herrscht in German language. It is described that there are other tirthas who do the same thing. Listen very attentively so that you will understand what a tirtha means. A tirtha is not a physical place in this world. And you can understand another tirtha is Krishna Katha. When you hear Krishna Katha, you enter into this dimension where you become surcharged spiritually. I think some of you yesterday, or one of you yesterday, put a taste list together, and the taste list should be hanging out there with your very nice answer. So they said, she said, I'm getting taste when I hear of Krishna's pastime. Do you remember? Some one of you had said yesterday, maybe Reshma. You. Vijeta. I'm sorry, Vijeta. I confused you with Reshma. So, yes. So, we hear the pastime, and all of a sudden, we enter into, let us say, divine space, ein heiliger Raum, where the atmosphere touches our heart and elevates us. By this, you should understand that a tirtha is not just a physical place in this world, it's something else is there. It carries an atmosphere that makes it a tirtha. Another tirtha is also the holy name. As you chant it, you will see that you enter into a divine space. It is not just a name like any name of this world. It is a tirtha. Today in the morning I came in, an old man, smitten, or afflicted by tiredness, and I saw how some of you were dancing, and I was thinking, they are still dancing after 5 days of ecstatic dancing? Do they have a spiritual body? But what you have experienced is the pleasure of visiting the Tirtha of the Holy Name. You have entered a spiritual space, a holy space, which has encouraged you. And the fourth Tirtha is explained here. It is the devotee of Krishna. When we meet him and we converse with him, then we also enter a sacred space. That is the meaning of darshan. When we have darshan with a holy devotee of the Lord, we enter a sacred space where we will partake in the holy, we will experience the holy. I will say it in this academic term. What makes this person, these places, and these spiritual practices a tirtha? Any one of you has an idea? It is by the it's said in this verse. Yes, Gopi Manjari. Krishna is present. Krishna is present. Very nice. You are very perceptible. Krishna is pleasant. Present. Here is Yudhishthira, he says this about Yudhishthira Maharaj. You are a Tirtha, a walking Tirtha. My Lord, he expresses him, Bhavat, your good self. My Lord, huh? Devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. And you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Today we will walk around a lake. And all of you, please carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your heart. And then you will make the Tsushasee, the lake of Tsush, it's called Tsush, like a Pandavasena who runs fast, he Tsushs. At least in the German word, zischt einen weg. You can make this a holy place of pilgrimage, and we will try to have a few pilgrimage stations on the way where we will absorb our consciousness in Lord Krishna. I will tell some Krishna pastimes. Oh, I want to tell a very special pastimes which you have never heard in your life. Yes. Now, as we come close to a Tirtha, either it's a place, either it's talking of the pastimes of Lord Krishna, either it's the name, or either it is a saint. There is a covering which we have to cross in order to enter the sacred space, the sacred dimension. It's not so easy to just chant and be with Krishna. It's not so easy to just visit Vrindavan and experience Krishna. So, you know, in our Krishna Balaram temple has now come into disrepute amongst some of the Brijbasis, because some devotees who go there use the temple for material goals and not spiritual goals. And therefore, the Brijbasis talk about the temple in a very worried way. They want to see that the temple goes into a spiritual dimension, because they care very much for the deities, Radha, Syam, Sunda, whom they also love. It's not, as you all know, that meeting a sadhu is always a very pleasant experience. You are by now no longer just young devotees who have not heard about the difficulties in spiritual life and who have not experienced it. There is a covering in philosophy. This covering of the Dham is Maya's work. You are meditating like a yogi. Oh yes, thank you very much. I feel honored by your attention. The Dham is covered, and this covering is Maya's work. The holy Dhams have this, it's called a specific form of Maya, Proda Maya covering. Who of you has gone to Vrindavan? Very good. Not all, but I would say a little bit more than the half has gone to Vrindavan. And you know, in Vrindavan, sometimes you don't feel very close to Krishna. You feel light years away from him. You may even be in Maya. Hare Krishna. You are in the covering of the Dham. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once preached very nicely about the covering of Navadvip. He was going out of the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, which you know, it's a place where his house is situated in the Samadhi of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It was early in the morning, and left and right from the street, the Dham Vasis were sitting and producing their biological heaps. You know, in India, early in the morning, they all sit and they produce their individual heaps. So the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur felt very bad because they just went through this through this place which smelled really. It really smelled. Let us not go so much into the detail before prasadam. And they all went like this through the place, and they said, Guru Maharaj, we feel very sorry that you have to smell all this. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, it smells like roses. This is only the covering of the Dham. The human beings and their human activities and so on. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternally dancing here. This Dham is made of Chintamani. What you perceive is Jagamaya. It is the material energy made of Dao, and in this way, smelling matter. Hare Krishna. And then he said, most of the people who go to the holy Dham cannot go through this covering of Jadamaya, the material energy, which is covering the holy place and cannot perceive the spiritual atmosphere. Only devotees can. Only devotees can. Please analyze your own Dham stay, your stay during Dhams. I think it was possible for all of you, because you're practicing bhakti, to go through the covering and for a moment get a glimpse of that divine effulgent place, Vrindavan and Mayapur. Everyone can feel a glow of that divine effulgent place. But for several of us, the eyes are slightly or grossly covered. This covering of Prodamaya is experienced in the life of a conditioned soul as the covering of the soul, which we all know. What is the first covering of the soul? False ego, the ahankara. Now the ahankara is not just a little material element which can be conveniently overlooked. The ahankara is a whole world of I and mine. From this, a whole covering is expanding. I and mine. My mother, my father, my garden, my family, my turf, my interests, and so on. We all live in a whole world of ahankara, which is expanded from the ego principles. I and mine. Isn't it an interesting point, isn't it? It's not just here in the heart something small which is under the ribs, It is expanding from the heart into the world and covers our vision. My dear devotees, if you would ever see the world of Ahankara in its full dimension, you would be shocked. You would be shocked to see how much of what you think you do and you think is totally governed by Maya. If you won't wish to see the material energy once, it would shock you entirely. Even if you are a great saint. In the Devi Purana, we find the example of Narada Muni, who once went to Lord Mahavishnu and asked him, "Can you show me your Maya?" At that time, Lord Vishnu smiled and he said, "Do you really want to see it?" "Yes," said Narada Muni, "I'm a preacher. I'm preaching about the ego and the Maya." "Okay," said Narada Muni, said Mahavishnu, and took him on Garuda, and he flew to the earth planet. There, when Garuda landed, they saw a beautiful lake. Mahavishnu said to Narada, "Please take your bath. It is morning in the lake." Narada Muni took his sadhu cloth away, put his veena away, and went into the lake. He submerged himself in the water. When he came out, he saw he had beautiful breasts, hair. He was a woman. And he had forgotten that he was Narada Muni. He was totally confused, not knowing from where he came, who his father and mother were, what his regular activities were. He was standing there, a beautiful woman. Hare Krishna. At this moment, the noble unmarried king of the country came by. And he saw this splendid woman. She saw him and she immediately covered himself, and he said, don't fear, I'm a civilized person. And he gave her some clothes because he saw her dilemma. He asked her, "May I know from where you come? It is a very unusual to see such a noble woman alone in a lake in the wilderness. You should have many servants the way you appear. You are a kingly person, a queen." And she said, I'm very sorry. I don't know how I came here. I all of a sudden stood in the water, undressed. I don't know from where I come, nothing. I only know I'm here. This is my only knowledge which I have." "Oh, may I help you?" the king said. "Come with me. What is your name?" "I don't know." "Then I will give you a name. Your name is Saubhagya Sundari." Sundari means a beautiful one, and Saubhagya means you are full of auspiciousness. Saubhagya. "Oh, beautiful one who is full of auspiciousness, please become my queen." And she said, "Yes, some identification is necessary in life." They married and they had 12 sons first, and then another 8, it was 20 altogether. And then these sons had more sons, and a dynasty expanded, a very healthy dynasty. Now one day, an inimical king came. He saw the prosperous kingdom, and he went back and came back with an enemy, an army. They overthrew the whole kingdom, and Sobhagya Sundari's husband said, we must fight for our life. He went into the battle, took all the sons and their sons with them, and came back after the battle, crying desperately, badly wounded. He said, Sobhagya Sundari, all our people have been killed. Where are my sons? Sobhagya, birth and death is natural in this world. Where are my sons? Sobhagya, control yourself. With the help of spiritual knowledge, understand we are all eternal souls. I beg you, don't despair. Sobhagya Sundari ran out on the battlefield to see with her own eyes her beloved sons and their sons drenched by their heart's blood, lying with disassembled limbs on the battlefield. And she cried and cried because all her family had died, brutally killed in armed combat. At this moment, an old Brahmana came. Sobhagya Sundari, remember who you are. That's my problem, said Sobhagya. I don't know who I am. I came out of the lake. I don't know, didn't. Yeah, I mean something else, said the Brahmana. Remember who you are. Who am I? Do you know who I am? Come with me, said the Brahmana. And he took Sobhagya to the same lake where everything happened. He said, why don't you take a bath? It will be good for you. I think some of you have an idea what will happen now. Huh? Yes, your idea is correct. I can sense that your intuition is given by Paramatma. She went into the lake and came out as Narada Muni. This seemed to be a long bath, he said. And he went to the shore of the lake, and there was his cloth and his meena. It was a long time, very easy. Grandsons, you know, grandsons come after, I don't know, 60 years. I don't know how fast the children production takes, and so on. And so it was a long time. He saw Mahavishnu smiling on the hill. Narada Muni, what happened to you? I had a dream, said Narada Muni. I was a woman in the dream, and I lived as the wife of the king of this country, and we had many children and grandchildren. And then in my dream I saw an army attacking us and killing all my sons and grandchildren. Hare Krishna. Mahavishnu smiled. This is my Maya. Now you know. You were covered. So can you understand from this story what Maya is? It's what the false ego is. It's not just something here which can be overlooked. It's the whole world around you which has been expanded. And because of this false ego, when you come to Vrindavan, you stay on the covering of Proto Maya, the material energy, because you are covered by the material energy. Because we are in false ego, we do not taste the holy name. Because we are in false ego, we don't have pleasant association with devotees, and we cannot appreciate the sadhus who come to us. Because we are in this false world, which is expanded by the ego world, the bubble of illusion, when you are free from false ego, you are free from the material world. And your actions, when you are free from false ego, are also different. Please listen to this verse. Maybe someone can be so kind as to give me a Bhagavad Gita, which should be in the book board, preferably in English. Yes, please give me. Thank you very much. There is a very, very interesting verse to all of you, us, which Lord Krishna says. He speaks about someone who has gone out of the world of Saubhagya Sundari, who has gone out of the world manifested by Maya, who has gone out of the false ego. He says, Yasya nahankrito bhavo mudiya yasya nalipyate atva pisai malokan nahanti nani bhatyate. This will be such a shocking verse if you hear it in this connection, that it deserves our best philosophical inquisitiveness. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills man in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. If you want to read in your own reading time this very, very difficult verse, you can refer to it, to the 18th chapter, verse 16. Lord Krishna here says, someone who is no longer covered by false ego is no longer part of this world, and all his actions are transcendental. Please let us not think that this verse refers to all of us here, and that we can do anything and anything, and anything goes. This illusion is described in a word, it's a long word, about 1 kilometer long. It sounds something like transmutational Kalimskalomskalomski. It's a long word. It's an academic word, and because I'm not an academic and do not wish to become one, I have not learned this word. It's a long. In other words, you think you are something which you are not. But the point which is made here, that to fight or not to fight can arise from false ego. Everything arises from false ego. Someone who is acting on the false ego in this material world, he is implicated in the reactions. But someone who acts as Krishna's instrument is free from the false ego and is not implicated in any reaction. Isn't it a beautiful point? So as long as we are covered, it is very, very important that we behave properly at the Holy Dharma, knowing well that it might be possible that we are not reaching the transcendental world. as Prabhupada said so nicely, you cannot buy a ticket to Vrindavan. It's a place outside of this world, outside of the ego world, which is manifested from the ego principle. Hare Krishna. I will give this lecture in Vrindavan when I'm invited to speak there. And I know the temple devotees will look at me and ask many questions. Hare Krishna. How do we get entrance in Vrindavan? Any ideas? Into the real Vrindavan, the Vrindavan which lies outside of the world of Aham Mameti, I am mine. The Vrindavan which is out of this dream world. The Vrindavan which is, how yesterday Kavita and Neela Mani gave me a CD, it had a title. Yes, you were the producer. What is the title? This is reality, or what? This is the real life. How do we get into the real life, which you can hear on the CD of Kavita Mataji? yes. How do we get into the spiritual dimension of Vrindavan? Yes. Yes, please. Is it through Radharani's permission? Yeah. there are other answers as well. Yes, are you?
I was going to say connected to that, but I've been told by many devotees who've gone there that if you go with a desire to do some service and to please the devotees in Krishna,
if you need the desire to do service and to please Krishna, then you can enter Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. Yes. You must purely chant. Through Krishna's mercy.
We should also pray to Lord Shiva that he will take care of
our ego. We should pray to Lord Shiva. Yes, there's all the, Shiva is guarding Vrindavan. Even Radhakund has four times Lord Shiva is there, guarding him from four places. And he has a trident to take care that those who are not wanted cannot enter. No entrance for you.
I want you to say
the
same thing like
Yeah, oh, here comes the Shiva. Bhaktas. No, no, I'm joking.
By
the mercy of devotees of Krishna in general. Yes.
By following a devotee who has access to Vrindavan.
For us it means to follow Prabhupada. Deal? We must have the mood of a bridge basi. Hmm? Deal with your parents are from Vrindavan, deal? No? Yes. Lakshmi tried to enter there, and because she did not follow the example of the gopis, she could not enter. Yes. What is the mood of the bridge basis? Selfless service to only give Krishna pleasure. Only Krishna. They have no concept of separate enjoyment, of their own enjoyment. They have only Krishna's enjoyment. Please him in the various rasas. Any other? I think we have a good group. This is a really, we should open a university. You are all very, very knowledgeable. And so on.
Radharani.
Kide Maharani Kide.
Has a hand like this. This hand like this, the acharyas explain, means mercy. Our Radharani has a... Have you noticed? Hand is really in the giving mood. But it also means... Stop. This is not so often discussed. It means stop in a very rasa-laden ways, which is described in Govinda Lilamrita to a very specific blackish person. But it also means stop to unqualified people. But mostly it means mercy. Really, mostly it means mercy. Don't worry. That is much more, this is only very, yes. We need to enter in the service mode. Only, you know, becoming free from false ego, following the examples of the Vrishabhasis, all this means the same thing, to enter through the road of service. If you're free from false ego, you understand. I am a servant. Here in Germany, and then they asked me, it is necessary for you to do devotional service because you are a servant. This is what we are. We cannot be out of false ego if we don't do service because we are not in our proper function. We are servants. Also for Pandava Sena, if you want to be a real member of Pandava Sena, it is important you find your service. It's very important. Yes. And there are now many, many things to enter Vrindavan. I could talk about Vrindadevi. I could hear about, talk about Nayam Atma, Pravachanena Labdo, Namedaya, Mahuda, Shrutena. I could talk about many things, but the time is not on our side. Here I will close the lecture by requesting all of you, make your life a pilgrimage to a Tirtha. Understand in your life, your goal should be the transcendental kingdom of God, Goloka Dham. Not this year. This also, please come back as soon as possible. But this is another thing, out of affection, the Goloka Dhamis, you have won their hearts. Goloka Dhamis means the residence here. They would always like you to stay and not go at all away to London. This, we would say, is Maya, to leave Goloka Dham. But we recognize it's not possible and your bus will go on Saturday, unfortunately. But make Goloka Dham, the spiritual Goloka Dham, your place. See your life as a pilgrimage there, where you overcome gradually the obstacles. The obstacles are all produced from the ego principle. They are the small or big world, the false world of Aham Mameti, something which Mahavishnu made Narada Muni experience for a while. And come to that eternal place, which you will not leave again once you enter there. This is a thing. And you will be able to enter there by the process of devotional service, which is an antithesis to the world of I and mine, the world produced from Ahamkara. Again, today I want to request you to think on a level deeper than before about
what you could see as your place of service, because on Saturday we will all come together in a big thank you festival, and also before that in a workshop to find our something like our mission in devotional service. We will this workshop will try to assist you to find a little bit, to come a little bit closer to your mission in life. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. So today I wish you a wonderful pilgrimage. I will stop here. I will just take a few questions from the exalted audience. Yes, what is your good name?
Reshma.
Reshma, yes, yeah, yes, there you
go. If you are as compared to that of Avadhirtha, then why upon leaving the association of the river, did he not see the Supreme Personality of God face to face?
Why did Vidura not see the personality of Godhead face to face after leaving the association of Duryodhana? To my knowledge, Vidura was a great devotee of Krishna, and Krishna even once came into his house. He preferred the simple meal of Vidura to the great feast which was supplied by Duryodhana. This is my understanding, but I have to check. You have heard something. Why do you think Vidura did not meet the Supreme Person? You must have heard something or read something. He sees the Lord constantly in his heart. I think you must have mixed some information. Vidura left the palace of Duryodhana because he felt so much contaminated by this politics which were going on against the devotees of the Lord, the Pandavas. And he thought, I can't stay here any longer. And he went out on pilgrimage to to these places where one can meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna appeared in this Mahabharata drama several times, and Vidura was always a devotee. That's why Duryodhana was so angry at him, because he said, you side with the Pandavas, the devotees. Good that we have it clear. Yes, Vidura is a devotee of the Lord, who has the Lord in the heart. Now you can have your good relationship with Vidura again, because you have the right understanding. Mm-hmm. Yes, Navin Krishna Prabhu.
Maharaj, I just wanted to ask you, in Vrindavan, Maharaj, I was in the Bhagavan Sangha, thanks in Apple, so
Radharani's hand is facing
outwards.
Right. I must tell you, I always look somewhere else when I look at Radharani, that I have not seen. How exactly does her hand go, please?
There's some deities where the hand is just like this.
Like this? And she has her hand like this. I must tell you very honestly, I do not know this mudra. I know this mudra of Radharani. This is the dancing mudra. And this is the Radharani in Mayapur. She's like this, and there is another meaning in this. She's not just dancing, but she takes souls. No, it's like this, because Krishna is on that side. She takes souls from the world and gives them to Krishna. She's in the mood of Mahaprabhu. Any deity in a dham takes on the mood of the presiding deity in Mayapur's Gauranga's place. Radha and Krishna. You know that Gauranga is Radha and Krishna. But she has this very Mahaprabhu's mission. It would be very nice if you find out. I can well imagine Shivaram Maharaj would be able to know that. Anyone knows here? Yeah. No? No? You know Gopi Manjari? Have you heard it from, have you talked about it? Or? It seems so natural, isn't it? Yes, or Ram Roy will know. He knows such things. Yeah. She offers a betel nut, yeah. Mm-hmm. Something very interesting about Radha Syam Sunda in Vrindavan. Prabhupada has said, this is from Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu, a disciple of Prabhupada, you know him, this artist and pujari, that from Radha Syam Sunda in Vrindavan, all the other deities within ISKCON expand. They're all expansions from Radha Syam Sunda. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, not Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu, told me. It gives sense, isn't it? Because he's there. Malati Manjari? To go somewhere where she has to do some work. Uh-huh. Wonderful. Wonderful. Our Radharani will also never leave. I'm 100% sure. She stayed with us through good and the bad and so on. She will. When you see Radha Kunya Bihari, I hope they will come. Have you made a phone call? It's not sure. We have to pray. When Radha Kunya Bihari come, who are also deities, Radha Krishna deities from this project, you see Radha Rani's hand very much like this. So nice to talk about hands, isn't it? The divine hands. Yes, this is. We should talk about this. We should just make a lecture about the hand of Radharani. There are many things to be said. Many things. Hare Krishna. I saw other hands up, but I've forgotten who they were. This, yes. What is your good name? Depal. Depal? Like Nepal. Depal, yes. You have all such creative names I never heard before. Depal Prabhu, please.
I just like to ask you if you could tell me a bit about Vrinda Devi.
If I could tell you a little bit about Vrinda Devi.
Yeah,
Vrinda Devi is one of the pastimes potencies of the Lord, and she is taking care of the forest of Vrindavan and the Leelas who are taking place. She has, for instance, a whole army is not the right word, but the whole, how would you say, assembly of divine parrots who fly between the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, to give messages. Vrindadevi, by these parrots who watch everything in Vrindavan, is always informed about the leelas of Krishna. And she supplies whatever is necessary in the leela of Krishna. Govinda Lilamrita, we hear that in the noontime, Radha and Krishna, together with all the gopis and manjaris, enter the divine waters of Radha Kund for wonderful pastimes. One of the pastimes is that they splash water at each other. And the splashing becomes so intense that Srimati Radharani will hide herself behind golden lotus flowers so that she is not seen by Krishna, because Krishna is so very victorious in the water splashing. And but by the line of bees who are enjoying the honey-laden fragrance from Radharani's breath, Krishna will know there's Radha, and he finds her. So after this water pastimes, the divine couple with their associates will come out of Radha Kund, and then Brinda Devi and her assistants are there to offer them fresh clothing, towels to dry, first towels, fresh clothing, and then a wonderful meal. And a little later, honey drinks, which make the divine couple's vision spin around. Then she brings a chess board. Here Radha and Krishna also play chess sometimes on the altar. You can see they really... And Radha always wins mysteriously. We have done this many times, and always we do, a devotee, a pujari plays on behalf of Radharani. But it's understood she throws the dice, and Radha always wins, like in the eternal pastime. And then the gopis and Radharani said, yes, water playing, this is a very brute sport, but for this you need some intelligence, Shyama Sundara. This is not for you, this playing dice. You do the brutal things, huh? For this you need a little brain. And they talk like this in a very loving way. Hare Krishna. So Vrinda Devi takes care that the chessboard is there. And other arrangements are made, and she also takes care of the forest of Vrindavan, like a gardener, you can say. She resides in the forest, she never leaves the forest. And Brinda Devi also is at the entrance of Brinning at 8 o'clock. Would not rise at 8 o'clock or 8 o'clock as far as I know. Then he would take a shower. He got up at 8 o'clock in the evening. Please be surprised, this is intended in this part. Because I could have started with a regular morning, but I'm not. He got up at 8 o'clock. He took a rest earlier, in other words. Then he translated books from Sanskrit into Bengali to make the original writings of the Goswamis available to his countrymen, and he did so up to 12 o'clock. And then at 12 o'clock he started to something like that. He started to chant up till 4 o'clock in the morning. He chanted in a little room where the acoustics was very good and very concentrated. Then he took a little nap to refresh himself, and then he took a shower, and then he had this incredible schedule. Wait a minute, then he did... We are now at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? Some puja, some shower puja. And then in the morning
what I must say here, I do not know exactly the succession, but I know that in the morning, each morning he studied the philosophies of the world. Remember, you said he had a worldwide mission, so he studied the different philosophies to understand the thinking, also spiritual thinking in the world. Then he took each morning two chapatis and a little sabji and a little milk. That's all. And then he went to the court where he worked as a grihastha. He solved difficult cases which would take others sometimes days in the matter of minutes. Because it is said Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so integer, is so honest and so correct that he had the vision of what is right and what is wrong from his heart. He didn't need to study different law books. He had a very strong sense of justice. It is amazing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would never ever go in any part of the city where there was immoral behavior unless he had work to do. He was extremely ethical and moral. This was known. And that's why when Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to take Babaji initiation in the Babaji Vesh, it's called the dress of a Babaji, from Gokishodas Babaji, there was a loving episode. Gokishodas Babaji thought himself unfit to give this initiation to this Nitya Siddha devotee of the Lord. And he just felt himself so humble. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to beg for this initiation, then Gokishodas Babaji hit at the veranda of a prostitute. Yes? Yes? You have heard correctly? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and searched all over Navadvip, but he, with the exception of this one veranda, and not a veranda, also house and garden, I suppose. Gokishodas Babaji, he said, "My Prabhu would never go to such a place. That's why it was the only safe hiding place for me." No, this was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. So then he would go home at 1 o'clock, rest a little bit in the noontime, and then again get to work in the afternoon. He would return in the early evening. He would take a shower, eat something, rest a little, just 1 hour, half an hour, and then get up at 8 o'clock for his translation work. Every day. If you want to reach something in your life, it is important that you discipline yourself according to spiritual principles. This is very important. Please take this lesson from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he wrote this one, who has said, you have said, he wrote this wonderful literature. And I want to read to you this morning one very nice poem about the holy name. Would you like to hear this?
Yes.
Good. This really is an amazing poem, and we might have to open the window a little bit so that it is possible for everyone to get enough oxygen and not fall asleep while listening to the poem. Yes, sir. You can put this on. You have to put the banana tree down, Baba, Buddha Bhavana. This is, it is my favorite poem at this moment about the holy name. It might change. I mean, it always changes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur meditates deeply in this poem about the extraordinary power of the holy name. And I request you to listen to this very attentively, because this poem is the poem of the Hare Krishna movement. All of you who are in your life engaged in Krishna consciousness, you naturally will hear many challenges. Is this really the highest process, chanting Hare Krishna? Will it really reveal to me my eternal identity? Such questions are natural for intelligent devotees like you, and I think this poem will give you great happiness in your hearts. What power does the name of Krishna possess? My heart constantly burns in the fire of worldly desires. Correct? Yes. Just like a desert scorched by the rays of the sun. The holy name entering the core of my heart through the holes of my ears showers unparalleled nectar upon my soul. The holy name speaks from within my heart, moves onto the tip of my tongue, and constantly dances on it in the form of transcendental sound. My throat becomes choked up, my body shivers again and again, and my feet cannot remain still. This sounds like Pandavasena. My feet cannot remain still. Rivers of tears flow from my eyes. Perspiration completely soaks my body. All my skin thrills with rapture. My hair stand on end and my complexion turns pale and discolored. My mind grows faint. I begin to experience devastation in my entire body is shattered in a flood of ecstatic emotions. Yesterday our visitor, Tim, a very nice student of the university in Birkenfeld, he said to me, when I looked at these devotees, I realized how healthy they express their emotions. I've never seen people expressing their emotions so openly. You know, for us it is natural when we sit in something and hear something which is good, we say, Hare Bol! For a German this is, wow! And then some of you, I noticed Dil and Sandeep was dancing very elegantly, and all of you, and also of course our Arti and Neela Mani, the two top female dancers maybe, or there are others as well, isn't it? We have a lot of very elegant dancers. You know, he looked at them smiling and and expressing their joy, and he saw, well, there is a flood of ecstatic emotions going on. And he was very moved. He thought he already asked, how much rent do I have to pay if I want to come here in this Goloka Dham? Very moved by the flood of ecstatic emotions coming from your moved Krishna conscious state of mind. Now, he continues. He has now expressed that the holy name does something with him. He moves his heart, he comes on the tip of the tongue, he moves the color of his skin, he becomes pale like Pandu.
continuous more. These are external symptoms of ecstasy, but now he goes into the internal symptoms. While causing such an ecstatic disturbance, the holy name showers liquid nectar on my heart and drowns me in the ocean of divine love of Godhead. He does not allow me to understand anything, for he has made me truly mad. The whole Lord Chaitanya also said to his guru, what name have you given to me? It has made me mad. Very nice. For he has made me truly mad by having stolen away my mind and all my resources. Such is the behavior of him in whom I have taken shelter. Now, as you listen to this fifth verse, you will notice a very clear shift. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks no longer as the name of the name being just a name, a designation, but he talks of the name of Krishna as being Krishna himself. Please note this and understand the verse in this light. He says the holy name has a behavior, like a person who has a behavior. He is a person, the personality of Krishna. Such is the behavior of him in whom I have taken shelter. I am not capable of describing all this. The holy name of Krishna is independent and thus acts on his own sweet will. In whatever way he becomes happy, that is also my way of happiness. The holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love. Please note this word. The holy name is the bud. When a flower is in the budding state, it looks something like this. It doesn't give away its fragrance and its inner secrets. So when we chant the holy name, it is also a bud. It doesn't reveal its secret and mystery to us, especially not if we are not qualifying ourselves as surrendered servants of the name. But just like a bird is opening itself and gives away its sweet flower secret. Look at how interesting this looks here. The holy name also reveals after some time divine love in our hearts. The holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love, and it is the very abode of astonishing mellows, rasas. Such is the power he manifests that when his holy name starts to blossom a little further, the holy name comes a little bit further, then it reveals his own divine form and qualities. You will see Krishna dancing on your tongue, in other words. Thus my heart is abducted. Abducted means kidnapped, right? An abduction, UFO abduction. My heart is abducted and taken directly to Krishna. Blossoming fully, the flower of the holy name takes me to Braj and reveals to me his own loving pastimes. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body and keeps me right by Krishna's side and completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mine. Have you marked this? The holy name will take you to Vrindavan, show you the pastimes, his pastimes with the gopis, and then give you your own siddhadeha, your own spiritual identity, and then it destroys everything related to the frame of mind. This will be so ecstatic that you leave your material body here, no purpose any longer in London to be fulfilled at that stage, and you go. Or you stay. You go before, but then you stay and never return back. The last verse is the name of Krishna is a transcendental touchstone. Stein der Weisen, yeah. A mine of all devotional mellows, rasas. It is eternally liberated and the embodiment of pure rasa. When all impediments to the pure chanting of the holy name are taken away and destroyed, then my happiness will know its true awakening. Hare Krishna. If anyone thinks the Hare Krishna movement is about something else than Hare Krishna, he is mistaken and in an error. It is all about that. Those of you who wish to take a copy home of this beautiful poesy and show it to your friends and discuss it in circles can go to Gaura Bhavani in her transcendental office and make a photocopy of it for free. Or better even, because she is so overworked, I give it to one of you. Maybe because it's Aarti's birthday, and birthday means an opportunity to do service for Vaishnavas. In the material world, it means, serve me now, please. It's my day. In Vaishnava days, it means we will do service to Lord Krishna. Yes. You all know, when you give a Vaishnava a birthday cake, he immediately cuts it up and distributes it to others. That's how the Vaishnava celebrates. So Aarti will be in charge of the distribution of the holy name today.
What's the title of that song?
The title of the song is Sri Nam Mahatmya, in English, the glories of the holy name. Isn't it a beautiful song? Very remarkable. So, continuing on this line, I would like to now tell you, read to you something from the 10th canto. A beautiful verse and a beautiful pastime which will glorify the holy name. Is it maybe getting a little cool for you now?
Yeah.
Yes, no, see, this is how we are all individuals. it may get a little bit cool. Some of you have a good circulation and many rotis on them, so Om. Such a traffic this morning. No, please, if you need to traffic, but I so much traffic. There's a rush hour. Please, this is important to be in the Bhagavatam class. Once, Sudama was a very poor Brahmana. He lived in a town. Sometimes they were so poor that they really couldn't afford cooking anything. As a result, Sudama and his beloved wife became skinny and more skinny and more skinny. Finally, the wife said, "It is not because of me, but I'm worrying for you.
Anyone must eat something. In the past you told so much about Krishna and how he is your dearmost friend. I beg you, if he is your friend, go to him and ask him for some moderate wealth. You're becoming more skinny and more skinny every day. Sudama thought about the matter. And finally he decided to go, not to ask Lord Krishna for anything, but to see his beloved friend. He went on a long walk and finally arrived at the shore of the ocean. And as he looked over the ocean, he saw in the distance a splendid island with a splendid light around it, emanating from the many palaces which were standing there. And he knew, this is Dwaraka, the town of my beloved Lord. And so he went into a ship embarkment, to enter a ship, to embark on a journey, you say. He embarked on a ship. It was a little rowing boat, because he was poor, he could not give much, so he was crossing the ocean and he came to the palaces, which were palaces of divine ecstasy. As he went into the palace, his body was shivering. He was so much filled with, it's called in Sanskrit, purvarag, the rag of anticipation. And when he entered the inner chambers of the Lord, there on a jewel-bedecked bedstead, he saw the connoisseur of the eyes. He saw Lord Krishna sitting, receiving his dear friend with happy laughter. Oh, Sudama, you have come. I thought you have forgotten me. Sudama, what? No, my Lord. How can I forget? Sudama, now come. And he took the Supreme Personality of Godhead, took Sudama by the hand and pulled him on his own bed. It was a very, very intimate gesture. Sit. Sudama was looking very shyly. He was covered in rags. Holes were there. Not like your dhoti. This is a luxury dhoti for Sudama. It was very small, up to the knees only. This extra length to the feet could not be afforded by Sudama. That was with holes. So he was sitting on this jewel-bedecked bedstead. And Krishna was having tears of pleasure in his eyes. He said, you have come. Now only my life is valuable. Previously it was not valuable because you were not here. But now you are here. You have given splendor to this life of mine because you are a true Brahmana. And then Krishna remembered. And see how loving the Lord is. Isn't it when you see someone, do you like to remember what you did in the past with him? Do you remember how we were dancing around the bonfire in Inishrat? This was a special moment. This is where our hearts became tied together. Do you remember when we were on Sankirtan distributing books? This is how old Sankirtan is. Do you remember when we went through this difficult time together and we decided, like I remember Goloka Dham was, there was a time when So many people thought maybe we will not keep it. And I remember I was standing with Vishwadev. Is Vishwadev here? Yes, Vishwadev is here. We were standing on the corner of the guest house and we were both asking a question. Is it Krishna's plan that we keep it or that we lose it? And then in our hearts we made the decision and we felt it is Krishna's plan, we must keep it. And then it was clear we will do whatever a little we can to give our contribution. This is a sweet remembrance in the past. So Krishna naturally also, he was thinking, having this human, do you remember Sudama when we got lost in the forest? As we were trying to pick, to get firewood for our Guru Maharaj. Do you remember how at that time? And then Krishna began to tell the story, how a rain flood was pushing them to take shelter at a little island in the forest, and they were shivering the whole night. And then do you remember how Guru Maharaj arrived with his wife in the muddy forest? Do you remember what he said to us? Sudama went, yes, I remember. Yes, he said, my dear sons, Krishna said, anyone who serves the spiritual master with such dedication as you do, this is more dear. He will get the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna kaje, Krishna said. Sudama went smiling, yes, I remember. He felt, you know, he was no longer so shy, you know, he was there, then he looked at Krishna, but Krishna had this turban, this jewel, was so rich, and again, Sudama looked down on the floor, I'm so poor. But his friend was really not making any distinction. Krishna kept his arm by now around Sudama and said, Sudama, you have come. I'm curious to know, surely you have brought a little present for me. Krishna said in the midst of all this opulence, Rukmini was there fanning the Lord air. And then Sudama had brought something, but it was just so ordinary. It was not normal rice, but it was this cracked rice, which is taken from the mills, you know, where the rice is cleansed or something. And it is really very ordinary quality. It was all he could beg. He had begged this. He had it under a little bag here, around here, where the shoulder was. The Lord just, he had his hand there, he came and he snatched, is this what you brought for me? Sudama said, this is what I brought for you. Wonderful! Krishna opened it and ate it with great happiness. It was an offering of love. He wanted to eat more. Rukmini couldn't tolerate seeing this, because she personally would cook for the Lord and bring it to the Lord. A variety of many, many hundreds of preparations, sweetly cooked. And she said, my Lord,